It's a thing of great beauty and satisfaction when a midweek driver sorts out a press package to the extent that everything is just organised with military precision. And it's thanks to Ben Lewis that one finds oneself on a fine August morning at the base that is RAF Scampton, looking ahead to this year's RAF Scampton air show. Ben, thank you for facilitating this.
No worries, Alex. It was not, just to strictly put it out there, it's not my press launch, but I was selectively invited and duly brought Alex along with myself, Scampton air show.
You're kind of plus one today, I mean, you're kind of plus one.
Yeah, yeah, just for a change now, it's the other way around, but I'm very much looking forward to what's ahead today and the people we'll get to speak to today.
Describe where we are at present, because you're the specialist when it comes to the RAF. The last air show I covered was Waddington a few years ago with Jodie Orton. Just outline what we're looking at and in our immediate vicinity.
Yes, this is my third time to RAF Scampton. Right now we're present in the West Hangar, just next to Red Arrow's hangar. We're in a spare hangar by the looks of things. There's a front end of a Vulcan bomber there to the left of us, and amongst other sort of various other bits and bobs, and a stand they've set up here with all the other media staff from their respective groups.
Of course, this goes back to the summer and the delights of the Lincolnshire Show 2017, where I think you made first contact with some of the fine folk who are involved with this. We could probably hear in the background there some of the jets that are actually working through this. And this is, of course, as we said, a first for Scampton to actually hold the air show, given that Waddington couldn't actually host it. I know that citizens in the locality are quite excited by this event in September.
Yes, it's a change, certainly, from Waddington. So it'd be interesting to hear how they differ from one another and how they've made it stand out so that the people who went to Waddington will come to Scampton as well, and whether it's obviously capable of hosting it, as it's very controversial.
Well, we've certainly got the possibility of meeting up with some very famous folk. I think Rory Underwood being one of those fine folk who are actually there. We're obviously about celebrating the aviation heritage of the county. Keith Batty is going to be there. He's a Lincoln Education consultant. And we've even got a Spitfire pilot and Eastern Airways Chief Executive Officer Richard Lake, who's based in Louth, who'll be joining us. They're all Scampton Airshow ambassadors. Plus, of course, we might hopefully get a few words with Red Arrow's team leader, Squadron leader David Montenegro, as well as obviously the delights of Airshow Director Dave Peter Saul, Scampton Airshow Limited Chairman and RAF Charitable Trust Trustee Alan Smith. So a whole heap of folk there. Maybe we can invite our listeners to perhaps have a scorecard and actually score off how many, if any, we managed to get a few words with on this fine day. We are delighted now to have secured our first interviewee, and we're delighted now to be able to speak to
Roger Cole.
Roger, good to connect with your good self. Share with us what we've actually got here with respect to your stand supporting the work of the Royal Air Force Charitable Trust.
Well, basically, this is a foundation which we've set up in Wellingor for John Gillespie McGee, who is the world-renowned poet pilot. And we are raising money to build a statue, the bust of which you can see here, which will be placed on the A607 in a piece of ground which is already set aside waiting for the completion of the figure.
I'm very impressed in terms of the bust itself, in terms of it looks as though it's a work of art in many ways. It's so important that we remember our aviation heroes, and indeed heroines, of course, from the last century. And it's amazing, here we are, 2017, and people often forget about the history of flight.
I think they have almost, in our village, I would have said that 60 to 70% of the population really were totally unaware of John McGee and of 412 Squadron. And Wellingor Airfield, of course, is now no longer in existence, but some of the runways are still there. And gradually what has happened as a result of, first of all, the book that I wrote about John McGee, and then this project, is that more and more people in the locality are beginning to be aware and be quite excited by the fact that we're bringing something which is of the immediate past, it isn't centuries ago, back to life, and recognising an amazing contribution from a young man of 19.
And there must be real filmic opportunities as well for some of our colleagues who are in the movie industry to actually sign up a tale here, surely.
If you can find tomorrow a major filmmaker who would like to actually go down that route, my book is literally waiting for a film production team to come along. I've got people who are interested who are script writers, I've got producers who are interested, but what it actually needs in the final analysis is somebody to say, yes, the funding is here and we can go with it. And the other thing about that is that many of the aspects of what this and this man were about are still all there. You can walk around the village and walk to places where he lived, where he worked, where he played, and in the weeks before his death, where sadly he went on a journey through the woodland, he had conversations with a friend, and he and his friend were killed within days of each other. And that, in terms of the story itself, apart from the fact that she's no longer alive, I interviewed his girlfriend 3 years ago, before she died, and the fact that he went to rugby school and flew over, the whole thing could just come together in the most romantic story on the one hand, but on the other hand, something of about a man who had a mission at 19.
Ben?
I think it certainly resonates with myself in terms of, I'm 20, so it's trying to put yourself in that perspective and those shoes as well, and it's very hard to imagine. I was just going to, just whilst you were chatting there, what took my eye was the poem, obviously, that's a very famous poem, globally known, and I think that sort of sums up, reading it now, it sums up a lot that went on at the time, but also having that mindset of the 19-year-old boy and the experiences that he's going through at such a young age.
And the $94,000 question, which, and you're absolutely right, is how did a young man come to have that perception? And as you look back in his life, he is the product of two missionaries, his mother and his father. His mother is English, American father, missionaries in Shanghai, and it surrounded him. What is a religion? What is a faith? And so at the age of 19, faced with the reality of war and all the terrors and horrors of that, he uses the language that he knows to express something which is worldwide unique. The reason people come to Wallingor from China is because of that poem. I mean, a little village in the middle of Lincolnshire, why? And then you speak to them and they say, where did he live? When he was here, what did he do? And they want the trail, they want to know, apart from the Canadians and the Americans and all the obvious people who've come.
And the poem, of course, is High Flight, A Pilot's Prayer, for people who actually want to find out more about the details. Your own book, let's talk about that, also entitled High Flight.
Yes.
How can people get hold of it?
It's on Amazon, but they can get hold of it literally through the John Gillespie McGee Jr.
Foundation.
At Wellingor Hall. And we're nearly at the end of the first edition, and we just can't believe the fact that it has been so popularly received.
Yeah, and I just thought I'd quickly add, there's a website address just on the bottom there. It's www.navenby.net/McGee. That's NAVENBY, and then McGee's MAGEE.
It's been a privilege sharing some thoughts with your good self. I know we're looking forward to hopefully, I'll make some calls. No promises, but I'll see if we can speak to some of our colleagues over in the States.
I will be delighted to speak, to share the time with anybody who, if there's anybody who just wants to talk about what the possibilities are about film, because we think that last stage of it will actually put it into a higher level of international understanding.
Ben, we've just actually had the official launch of the press show today. Two fine speeches there, and we've moved straight away to speak to
Scotland and Paul Harrop from the RAF Youth and Diversity team.
So talk to us a bit about youth and diversity in RAF and just explain effectively what you're doing here and what we've got with respect to stick makers and other things.
Pretty much, we've got a remit in the Royal Air Force as a major employer in the United Kingdom to try and inspire and engage children in our sort of target age groups up to the age of 15, to try and inspire them to consider doing STEM subjects in GCSEs and beyond. We also want to open up those opportunities to let them know about what STEM careers are out there. We are acutely aware of the massive shortage there are in the United Kingdom of engineers. So we want to contribute to that and help these students to understand the STEM subjects and the opportunities that are there for them in the future.
Science, technology, engineering and maths, of course. And I speak as somebody who did a science degree in chemistry and biology before switching to media and various other things. Ben, of course, you're in public relations.
Yeah, slightly different from engineering. Although I do admire what you've got here. I was just saying, I can't really explain it over the radio to someone, but they're sort of binding newspapers together to create other objects.
Explain what's going on here.
Yeah, pretty much. This is, it's old newspaper, which we're going to put into the Stix machines. And we want the kids that are using the Stix machines to have some imagination. And that's really what engineering starts with, imagination. So they can build anything from these newspapers. We have seen tables, we've seen chairs, we've seen aircraft frames being built. So it's all about imagination. And again, it's inspiring science, technology, engineering, mathematics. That's what it's all about.
One of our regular co-presenters, sadly, passed into the radio studio in the sky a few years ago was Sir Patrick Moore, and he was a great believer in terms of what you've said several times, the inspiration. He was inspired to obviously go into astronomy and develop a variety of other bits and pieces. Do you think, again, in terms of the current generation, 21st century, we are seeing, through productions like this, the next generation coming forward?
The next generation is absolutely coming forward. We run a number of programs up and down the country, and we are inspired by what we're seeing. And I have every faith that the next generation is going to deliver for this country, and we are going to have a real high number of engineers moving this country forward.
Supervised by Ben for the public relations side, obviously.
Yeah, I've just been handed one of the pieces that a young child has here made, and it feels almost bamboo-like. It's very tough and very rigid. But I think it's fantastic what you're doing, inspiring people to get involved.
And a way of upcycling, to use that wonderful phrase, from newspapers.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about, you know, helping the environment. So again, you know, we're trying to do our bit.
How do folk get in touch with your good self if they're listening to this particular thing online and they're thinking about maybe going to the air show? What's the best way of getting in touch with the youth engagement team of the Royal Air Force?
We've got a couple of social media sites. So our Twitter feed is at REF Youth Engage, and our Facebook page is the Royal Air Force Youth Engagement Team. You're able to message us that way, and then we can come back, you know, we can contact you back from there.
And what are you most looking forward to about the upcoming air show at Scampton?
Well, again, it's another opportunity for us to try and sell our message. You know, this is not a recruiting tool for the Royal Air Force. This is us as a major employer and as a responsibility to try and inspire the next generation. So hopefully lots of children will be coming to the event, and then we'll give them something different to do whilst obviously that's sort of, you know, from actually seeing the aircraft. So we'll give them something else to do.
As I said a few moments ago, Ben, I was inspired by the opening address, and we're delighted now to speak to Alan Smith, chairman of the RAF Scampton Air Show.
That's correct, yes.
Alan, good to connect with your good self. Just to clarify, you never played for Leeds United, Leicester City or Middlesbrough?
No, but I often get confused. I'm a similar shape.
Well, indeed.
I should say an avid Leicester supporter. So.
Well, there we are, you see. And 2 years ago, clearly happiness was unbounded.
Indeed.
Let's move on to talk about this fabulous production, which is going to be taking place in a matter of weeks now.
Yep.
And again, tickets available online.
Yes.
Well worth sorting out from that point of view.
Thank you.
Is this a dream come true for yourself?
I think it is. Obviously, I've been connected with the Royal International Air Tattoo at Fairford for a long time. We've always had the ambition to organise a second show. So when the opportunity came up from the REF to organise the Scampton show, yes, it was a perfect result.
As you said in your opening speech today, the sense of history, it's palpable. I mean, not only have you got the dam busters, the Spitfires, all of those factors, it's living history.
Yes, it is. And you feel that, don't you, as you come into this hangar, into the airfield, and you realise the background to this airfield, to the exploits that have gone on from here, and continue today, obviously, by the presence of the Red Arrows.
Speaking earlier to Roger, of course, with the wonderful pilot's prayer and his setup,
yes.
From that point of view. And it's that whole experience. I mean, also having spoken to some of the STEM people that's around here, you've really got a wealth of experience here for not just current generations, but the next generation as well.
Yes, and that's really one of the strong aims of the Trust, is to encourage young people to consider engineering as a work opportunity, and obviously to understand the military ethic of the Royal Air Force along with that.
Ben is a veteran of air shows. Those are a lucky actually. You're mere 20 years of age. But thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, 20 years of age and been to too many air shows, I think. No, I think it's a prospect that's looking fantastic, especially for Scampton. Obviously, having it at Waddington before, do you know what more people can expect from Scampton Air Show that differs from Waddington, or very similar in the same respect?
We've never set out to emulate Waddington. Indeed, Waddington was a magnificent and very large air show. Our aim for Scampton is to start smaller and gradually build up. And really our aim is for it to make it a great day for the family as a whole, for young people and for older people, and I represent that end of the spectrum.
Chronologically gifted, I like to say, Alan. Chronologically gifted.
OK, I'll go with that. But obviously the highlights are very impressive, such as the Red Arrows, the RAF Falcons, quite a good overseas representation as well in terms of different aircraft. But it will be different from Waddington, and that's our objective.
And the other thing, I think its location is very much the fore here. I mean, the Sunderland Air Show is one that has grown and developed over the years. But I've often thought, slightly unusual actually, having it based up in the northeast in the city of Sunderland. I mean, hats off to them, but somehow this seems more like an appropriate base, no pun intended, for an air show.
Well, I will support Sunderland as I'm connected with a company that's actually based in Sunderland and visited a lot. And actually, Sunderland is a great seaside air show. In fact, in my view, the best of the seaside air shows. But this is different. This is based at an active airfield, and there's benefits and difficulties as a result of that. But as a result of that airfield, and in particular Scampton itself, that's why it'll be different from Sunderland. Not necessarily better, but very different.
Yeah, and I think that would be a challenge. It's very good for a lot of people. I think a lot of people will come with an open mind, and I hope people do come with an open mind. Obviously, being the first show, no one has any expectations, and I think that will certainly prove in your favour. But also being at the home of the Red Arrows, I think people will be able to have a closer connection with not just the Red Arrows, but I think all of the RAF planes that are on here. Obviously, because you've got Guy Gibson's home here, and the home of the Dan Busters film. So I think a lot of people will have that resonation and connection as well when they come to view and watch the planes.
Well, it is a magnificent sight. I was lucky enough to fly in this morning despite the weather, and the sight of Scampton and its layout does indeed take you back to what was demonstrated in the film, which I think was 1953. I'm old enough to remember seeing it at the cinema.
I was having a debate on a programme a few hours ago about how I feel that the Dunkirk version with Sir John Mills was infinitely preferable to the current version, but that's by the by.
Yeah, well, indeed. I'm not sure the main film of the Dan Busters, the new film, will ever get made, and in some respects I think the old film should live on, because they got it about right.
Alan, it's been fantastic touching base with yourself. Hopefully we'll speak again before the show, and indeed probably during the show and after the show.
Look forward to it.
Clearly Amelia Earhart was one of the fine female pioneers, and we would be remiss in our 21st century duties broadcasters if we didn't balance out the genders. And so far we've spoken to a lot of wonderful male individuals, but it's delightful now to speak to
Alison Price.
Alison, can you explain your own connection with this fantastic event and what you're doing here today?
Yes, sure. So I'm the marketing and PR manager for the Scampton Air Show. First year, first show, we're all very excited. It's going to be a great show.
I get a really good positive sense, Alison, from not just today, but also the way in which the whole thing is growing and developing. In fact, my first experience of RAF Air Shows was with Darren Scales, who's one of my colleagues at the University of Lincoln, and he coordinated the Waddington thing for a good few years. But when you were given this task, was your first thought, well, that's great, that's a challenge, or do you think, how am I going to do this then?
I guess a bit of both. When I saw that there was an air show coming back to Lincolnshire, really excited about that, and thought really just wanted to be involved in that. So when I got the job, absolutely ecstatic. And then I guess, yeah, it's wow, what a challenge to put on an air show, brand new location. And there's such aviation enthusiastic county as Lincolnshire is, there's that added pressure there, I guess, to make it something special, but it really is going to be.
Ben?
Yeah, obviously I met Alison a few weeks ago at Lincolnshire Show, and we did a small piece there. Since then, have there been any new updates with the show, any new sort of display times, any aircraft that we need to know about?
Okay, yeah, so since we spoke, we've had a few more aircraft updates. We've got a few more in the pipeline that we're hoping will come up soon. I am trying to think of the latest additions.
There'll be a website you can go to, Alison. What's the website?
Yeah, a website, that's the best bet. Scamptonairshow.com. There's a full list of aircrafts on there. You can also sign up for updates, so they will come through to you whenever we have a new one.
Presumably, as we are in 2017, there's lots of other social media aspects as well. Do we have a hashtag for the show?
Yeah, hashtag Scampton 2017.
Nice. Instagram and all the rest of the material?
We are on Instagram, yeah, Instagram and Facebook. We have the pages for those as well, so you can find those on our website.
And what are you most looking forward to yourself? And don't say the end.
No, not at all. I guess seeing the first show all come together, just seeing all the different elements of it, just not just about the aircraft as well, all sorts going on the ground. The Heritage Centre is going to be a huge piece of it. As well as that, we've got a vintage village with 1940s, music, entertainment. I think that's going to be a great area.
I think Tessa's not would appreciate that. So is her mum, Lena Jane. In terms of today, though, I think congratulations. You've sorted out important things like coffee for the press. That's always important.
And bacon sandwiches.
My word. Win-win. And again, looking around, just the buzz is tremendous. I mean, Ben, I know, is gutted that he won't be able to make the show itself this year.
No, I won't. So I wasn't able to help you out because I've now got myself a placement for the now next placement year. So
he's off to Bentley.
Yeah, Bentley Motors.
Really?
Yeah, so
oh,
I'll be
wow.
there for the next year now. And I've really wanted to come as well. I was absolutely gutted when obviously I couldn't, but... No, I certainly will return and hopefully in a couple of years' time or next year, perhaps.
And hopefully, all being well, we should still have some representation of Siren and various other folk around, because I was a little bit unsure, but actually today I'm thinking we really need to be here.
Oh, definitely, you do. You need to be here, especially at the first one. And then, yeah, going forward as well, especially with 2018 being the RAF centenary year, it's going to be a huge part of it as well.
It's been a pleasure, Alison, and we look forward to continuing our partnership as the whole thing continues to grow.
Definitely. Thank you very much.
It's always a wonderful moment of deja vu when we say, I know this fine sir. Of course, it's the legend who helped launch the whole thing today, the fabulous...
Scampton Air Show.
Yes. You. And your name, sir?
Paul Sal, the Air Show Director here.
Paul, already the buzz, the excitement, the energy that's here, it's palpable. And in a few weeks' time, it's going to get even better.
Absolutely right. In just under 40 days' time, we'll have the skies above Scampton and Lincolnshire buzzing with aviation history and modern-day fast jets, of course.
And we've been speaking to some of the fine folk who've been around today. There is that, I say, sense of excitement that's actually there. People forget, you know, it seems a cliche, but they forget just how much history Lincolnshire actually has when it comes to the RAF.
I think it's unprecedented around the country. There is nowhere else that has got such a large presence as there is in Lincolnshire, not only in the modern-day Air Force, but dating all the way back to its inception back in 1918.
100 years, and continuing ever onwards from that point of view. Ben?
Yeah, so obviously because it's the first year being at Scampton, it's a big challenge on your hands, but also at the same time, you've got a lot to play with, and there's a lot more, especially being at the home of the Red Arrows, at Guy Gibson, there's a lot of history at Scampton. What would you say, especially for the younger audience, what can they expect to look at when they come and come and visit?
Expect to be wowed, not only with lots of flying displays, 5-hour flying displays starting at 11 o'clock, finishing at 4 o'clock, but just so much else going on the ground. So keep an eye out for what's happening on the ground, not only in the aviation heritage point of view here in the hangar that we're stood in, but outside in the techno zone. So there's this wonderful sort of relationship between the old and the new in terms of the engineering aspects that people will be able to get up close and be part of from a science, technology, engineering, mathematics point of view. And it's something that's at the core of the company that's putting the air show on, which is a charitable trust. The charitable trust is all about enthusing and promoting and encouraging the air-mindedness of the youth of today. And that whole theme will be central to everything that goes on in the air show.
Living history is a phrase that is often used in this particular era that we live in. We've got lots of sort of activities going on at the show itself. What are you most looking forward to?
My 27 years in the Air Force was punctuated by 2 years flying with the Battleground Memorial Flight as one of the flight engineers on the Lancaster. So without a doubt, the Battleground Memorial Flight is something that always makes me stop and look up into the skies and watch.
And a question we've been putting to a few folk when the idea was mooted to actually host an air show at Scampton. In retrospect, you might think it was a no-brainer. But in terms of when those first ideas were being mooted, was it trepidation? Was it anticipation? Was it a case of excitement? Or was it a combination of all three?
I think you've stolen the words right out of my mouth. It's a combination of all three. It's like any new project. Huge amount of excitement, intrepidation, apprehension. But I think the support that we're getting, not only from the Royal Air Force and the station, but the wider sort of area of people of Lincolnshire as a whole, universities, industry, businesses. It's just been astonishingly good, and we're in for a fantastic couple of days out.
And I think it's only going to be a matter of time before that international element will be coming across as well, because certainly I think there's already interest coming up from all sorts of countries.
Exactly right. This year we're going to have the French Air Force displaying here. We've also got the Belgium Air Force displaying here. Next year, with the Royal Air Force centenary as part of the theme that goes through every aviation event, I'm reasonably confident that we're going to see a bigger, better air show in years to come.
Privilege speaking with your good self. We let you go to another interview today. It's one of those wonderful things about a press conference, really, sort of whizzed in, whizzed out, but many thanks indeed.
Thank you very much.
The other ones in
when we were looking at the joys of STEM and science, technology, education, media, and indeed going back to the start of this fine press conference, the name Keith Batty was mentioned, because of course you, Keith, are...
I'm the Scampton Airshow ambassador, really with responsibility for promoting careers in engineering, careers in the sciences, careers in aviation amongst young people in particular.
And how's it going? Is it a winning routine? And clearly events like this can only help and assist in that campaign.
Well, this event's not actually happened yet, but all the signs are from the, if you like, the big brother of this air show, which is at Fairford, that we really can be very successful indeed, because that has a tradition over decades now of promoting that same STEM agenda. And lots of young people do get involved in aviation and engineering through that route.
What appeals to your good self about the air show? Have you always been an air aficionado? Have you been an RAF lover? What's brought you to this whole area?
I'm an aviation enthusiast, really. I'm a gliding instructor and a motor gliding instructor at the York Gliding Centre in York. And we see a lot of young people come through our hands, really, who are interested in aviation, and they go on to different aspects of aviation, but that interest that's kindled through, in my case, involvement in gliding, really lasts them throughout their lives, really. And some people just do it for fun. They do engineering that's not connected with aviation. They have a variety of jobs, but some people go on to quite sophisticated careers, whether it's airline pilots or just careers in engineering, or just connected in some way with the aviation industry generally. And Scampton offered the opportunity to promote that agenda even more with a ever-increasing audience.
Yeah, and Keith, if you don't mind me moving on to children coming to the show, and obviously talking about the younger audiences and how they can get involved with the RAF or follow interest if they, you know, if they come in for the first time and they love seeing the planes, they love, you know, watching them fly around the skies. How can they get involved in sort of being, you know, coming into the RAF and or even looking further into the planes themselves? Is there any way they can do that at all?
Well, one of the things that will single the Scampton Air Show out from the predecessor, which I suppose is the Waddington Air Show, is the Techno Zone. So that's a huge enterprise, really, with representatives of all the engineering and aviation-related engineering companies that service the engineering industry in the aviation industry in Lincolnshire, coming together and putting on really active exhibits, things that young people can get involved with, which will stimulate their thoughts about a career in that sort of area, but have lots of fun at the same time. And that's been hugely successful in Fairford. We know it's going to be successful in Scampton, not least because this airbase has got a long tradition of involvement in that sort of activity. So some of the young people will be familiar with the Red STEM event, where the Red Arrows and their Blues team, the maintenance teams, work with local schools, putting on fun activities and competitions. That has been subsumed, really, into the Techno Zone, which will operate that first weekend in September.
Well, as our colleagues migrate outside to actually see some of the other sort of events that are going on there, we might well head off for them. But I have to ask you the question, do you know Charles Ather at all?
I don't know Charles Ather.
Because I think he also pilots from York, and when you said the York School, I thought there might have been a connection there.
Well, York's got people think about Lincolnshire as being Bomber County and RAF County. Well, York in the past was just as well endowed with, or Yorkshire was, with air bases, and there are several ex-RAF air bases around the York area, all within sight of where we operate at Rufforth, so it may well operate from one of those.
And having just celebrated Yorkshire Day, of course, it's important that even though we're in Lincolnshire promoting the Scampton Air Show, we give Yorkshire a mention.
Absolutely, and our put my cards on the table, one of the reasons for today's event is to make people outside Lincolnshire and the immediate counties aware of the Scampton Air Show, because there's been a big gap between this one and Waddington. And to be honest, I spend half the week in Yorkshire and not many people at the moment know that this tremendous event's going to be put on in September.
Good. Ben, there are people who listen to the Midweek Drive and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, and indeed those folk who I look after as being programme leader for public relations say, how did you actually come to actually find yourself at Lincoln reading public relations? And we now find the life form responsible.
Yeah, it was this man right standing right next to me is Andrew Morton, who's the PR manager for the Red Arrows. And back in 2013, when I first met him, I was offered pretty much an opportunity of a lifetime. And following that, I then sort of pursued the career of public relations.
So Andrew, you take full responsibility.
Yeah, completely my fault. So apologies to all your course mates there at Lincoln. But no, delighted that we were able to host you up at Scampton Ashley. I can't believe it's all those years ago now.
February 2014 was when it was.
There you go. Ages ago now. But I was so lucky to go to Lincoln between 1999 and 2002. So a veteran, you can almost say now. And I had a great 3 years at university. So I'm a big advocate wherever I go for it. And lucky enough to have gone back a couple of times to say hello to people there and to do a few lectures. And I'm always pleased and proud to say that I went to the University of Lincoln.
Well, as I say, I think I would have been there at the same time, because obviously I was doing communications there. I didn't hadn't actually joined the journalism team there. But good to connect with your good self, and obviously you're thriving as well.
Yeah, I'm lucky. I couldn't believe I'm now, you know, working within Sight and Sound of the University. I would never have thought I would have come back to Lincolnshire to work here. But from one lifetime opportunity to my opportunity here to work with the Red Arrows, it's been a fantastic time I've had so far. And it's a different chapter, having done journalism for 15 years and then doing something entirely different, but also many of the things that you've learned in your previous career and from university days put into practice now still with this team all around the world.
Transferable skills, all the things we tell each other students are really vital for your future happiness.
They are, and I still use shorthand now and again for those students who doubt its usefulness.
There are people who'll be punching the air when they hear that particular quote. Let's focus more on the Scampton Air Show. Lots of exciting things coming up from this point of view. Are you looking forward to it yourself?
I am. So it'll be amongst our last displays of the year in the UK. And so brilliant that we're on our home stomping ground. Obviously, Lincolnshire has been a fantastic home for the Red Arrows now for many, many years. And we've got a very loyal following here, as we do all around the world, but particularly here in Lincolnshire, the following is very, very strong. And I think in many ways we'll approach the shows we would do any other around the world in terms of the way that we prepare for it. However, I think the difference will be simply because of the connection we have with Scampton and the heritage here, but also the RAF in the modern world, you know, in the modern day.
I wonder if we can grab a few words with one of the fine folk that you're responsible for at this particular moment.
We will. We'll introduce in a moment to you. Yeah.
I feel it's time now that we drew on the expertise of Lincoln graduate Andy here to actually talk us through what we're hearing in the background here, which is, I believe, a plane that is actually carrying the Rory Underwood.
That's right. So the Hawk T1, BAE Systems Hawk T1 that we fly, just taxiing back in now here to Scampton, parking a little bit differently. So parking further down from where we usually would have the aircraft position, just so we all here get a better view of Rory coming back in, and also that the obviously media here can hopefully meet him a little bit later.
And certainly Ben is currently doing picture duty now in social networking. Have you found in your role as Red Arrows coordinator, press officer, that social media is just literally taking over so much of your time?
Yeah, it's probably the biggest factor now that has really changed what and how we do it. Last year I was lucky enough to lead the team in terms of media for our appearance in China, and there people had already knew about us way, way ahead of our time in China because of social media.
And David has just passed us by again. He's heading off to a whole range of things, so I'm sure we'll grab a few words before too long.
We will, yeah. Busy man. So this is our return to flying today, having had about a week and a half without flying, just a little pause in our season. But now we go back to flying, with August having 29 displays all across the UK and overseas, and then we terminate our UK display season in September before going to Greece for an international engagement there.
Clearly the Red Arrows are at the top of the game, the cream of the cream and so on, but how do they compare with the Thunderbirds? Because I know when we've done previous air shows, those Thunderbirds from America often tend to say, well, we're better.
Well, the Red Arrows are lucky enough to fly with the Thunderbirds just a matter of days ago at the Royal International Air Tattoo down in Gloucestershire. And like every national display team, every...
competition.
Not so much competition, but every display team has its own flavour, its own look, and quite rightly too. We've got 9 aircraft, for example, that's the Diamond 9, our trademark shape, and of course flying very proudly the Union flag flowing from the tail fin, as people will have seen on our jets many, many times. So we have just a very different style. It's a show of nearly 20 minutes, and it's continuous. People can watch throughout those 20 minutes something that is going on. That's slightly different style to other display teams. Each one has just got a flavour that's slightly different and probably reflects the national character.
Finally, we have achieved the magical moment where you can introduce...
So you've got Squadron Leader David Montenegro, who's Red One and Team Leader of the Royal Air Force Aerobatic Team.
Squadron Leader, it's a delight to connect with your good self. It's been a busy day for your good self, and here we are, the Scampton Air Show hasn't even started yet.
It hasn't. Everything we do at Scampton is busy. As the people in the local area will see day in, day out from October all the way through until March and April. We spend Monday to Friday training here. So today actually is getting our currency back into the show. We've just had our mid-season break and we're just on the brink of our next 2.5-3 months of quite intense display flying, UK, Europe and a little bit further.
The fan base for the Red Arrows is just phenomenal. You've already been signing autographs today for youngsters who have been inspired by that. And inspiration is the key adjective that I think shows like this can really provide huge inspiration.
Yeah, that's the most fulfilling part of our job. I think in today's society, when you see a lot of young people drawn into their smartphone or to their tablet, we still provide something tangible that gets you away from just being online to look up into the sky, watch a world-leading display, not just for the sake of flying, but really just to demonstrate what teamwork can achieve. Where we've been very lucky is the support that we have in the local community, especially when we have hosted big STEM days here. So we've brought technology, engineering, maths to the base here. We've done this over the past couple of years, and we've had all the leading British industries around the country support that. So there's a huge follow-up from not just seeing the show, but really what the message we can bring afterwards as well.
And what inspired you, David, to join the Red Arrows in the first place? Was it something from the age of 6 you said, I want to be a Red Arrow pilot?
In all honesty, my sole aim was just to go flying from the age of, actually, it was about 6 or 7. I didn't know what it was, but I knew that aviation was going to be the career for me, if I could get into it. My primary aim, actually, when I left university, was just to get to the front line, was to be a Royal Air Force pilot. And I was very lucky to achieve it within the Fast Jet Force. And it was only on my frontline tour that my aim started to shift. And I wondered, what would I be able to do next? And thanks to a very proactive boss at the time, he suggested that I put my application in, because it's something that I had, in all honesty, I never thought I'd be able to achieve. But therein is a lesson in itself, to set a bit of ambition and keep your aims high as you can, because I was very lucky. I managed to get through selection, and now I talked to you in my 6th year on the team and
squadron leader.
As a squadron leader, and my last year as the leader of the team. So a phenomenal squadron to work on. Every RAF squadron has been and will always carry challenges, fulfilment, this one in particular because of the profile and really the message that we carry from the squadron and from our region and from the country around the world, and we're very proud to do it.
Yeah, so obviously coming into your final season with the Red Arrows, what can people look forward to in the new display? Obviously, I noticed looking at you from Swansea Air Show just recently, a couple of new manoeuvres that were involved. What can some of the young kids, what's your favourite manoeuvre and what can people look forward to seeing?
The stand-up manoeuvre, I would say, for the first half is called Tornado. Now, that's something that we brought in last year, but we developed it quite significantly this year, and I think it's one of the spectators' favourites from what we can judge for the people that we meet and what comes online. For those young people watching, I would say to them, have a really good look at Reds 8 and 9. Now, they're the ones that roll around the formation as we twist left, and have a think about some of the aerodynamics, some of the forethought where you have to take lead and lag. And that actually is an air combat principle that we've brought into Tornado. We make it colourful, we make it something the spectator can see. But the concepts of using angles within the air to continue that manoeuvre is something that took a lot of training time, and really testament to Reds 8 and 9, because there's no one in the world that could actually teach them that. We went through methodical planning, talked about all of the areas of technique, But ultimately, they had to teach themselves with me, you know, coaching them through. So something we love to fly.
I think ultimately that demonstrates the pilot's skill and obviously what they bring to the team themselves, being amongst the best pilots in the world.
Yeah, I think like any team environment, every single member of this team has individual responsibility. We understand the collective goal, but for that example, so to fly Tornado, Red 8 knows exactly what he has to do with the power, because if he brings too much lag into the manoeuvre, he's going to rattle back a little bit, and that's going to give Red 9 an issue. So I have to fly the manoeuvre actually bang on speed. My aim is to put it right in front of the crowd whilst they to carry out their responsibilities. I think that's one of, no matter what team you work for, that's probably one of the best bits of it.
It's a lesson for life. David, many thanks indeed. We look forward to seeing you on the day itself.
Great. Lovely to speak to you.
Hello, I'm Red 10, Squadron Leader Mike Ling from the Royal Air Force Aerobatic Team, the Red Arrows, and you are listening to Sirem FM's Midweek Drive.
Will it be a farewell party for you, having sort of wrapped up, you know, the decade of stunts?
That's a good question. I think my last day is going to be in November, when we have a big formal dinner to celebrate the end of the season. So I think that will probably be a couple of glasses of champagne quaffed at that point.
And any plans for what you do after the RAF Scampton air show, which of course is everybody's looking forward to with great anticipation?
Well, that will be at the Red Arrow's last public display in the UK of 2017 on the Sunday the 10th of September, and then we're actually heading overseas for a number of displays further afield, further to the east. So we got a few displays back in October, and then We will move on, get ready for training for 2018.
Is there a bit of a buzz about actually having as your home base the site of an air show? Because it's been some time coming, really, actually, to get an air show here at Scampton.
Well, I'm very pleased that Lincolnshire's going to have an air show that's run by the Royal Air Force Charitable Trust Enterprises. It's a great place to have it. Scampton is steeped in history, home of the Dam Busters. It was a home of the V Bomber Force back in the Cold War, and it's been home to the Red Arrow since the early 80s. So lots of history here, and there's a lot of real estate for people to come and see lots of the activity going on the ground and in the air.
And do you have a favourite manoeuvre?
Well, my favourite manoeuvre from the 2017 display has to be Tornado. So in the first part of the show, we've got all nine jets together. You'll see Reds 8 and 9 rolling around the other seven with lots of red and blue, deep red and blue coloured smoke. So a really picturesque, dynamic manoeuvre for the first half of the performance.
Mike, just quickly, if I can ask, what's the biggest memory you're going to take from the 9 years you've served with the Red Arrows?
That is a very good question. I've had a lot of memories. So I've been all the way to China and back going eastbound. I've been all the way to New York and back going westbound. So flying across the Atlantic in one of these aircraft, flying all the way to China in one of these aircraft, flying past the Statue of Liberty, flying with the Vulcan on a number of occasions, flying in formation with the Thunderbirds, flying in formation with the Blue Angels, the Snowbirds. There are too many to mention, there really are. But my one actual standing memory, I'm a huge Formula One fan and a big fan of Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes AMG Formula One team. So I was very lucky in 2013 to actually race against Lewis here on the runway at RAF Scampton, where he was in one of the old school Formula One cars and I was in my aircraft flying David Coulthard, and we had a great day out, and one of the best days I will ever have. Definitely etched in my memory.
And who won?
My aircraft was a lot faster than his car, although it was very noisy.
Quicker than Lewis Hamilton, isn't that brilliant?
As you've just pointed out, Ben, two MBEs in the one plane. It's like the royal family travelling together. The second, of course, being Rory Underwood. Rory, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I have managed to come down from the flight and I'm feeling not too bad. So that was one of my concerns. I didn't want to be here feeling very sick in front of all the press. But now I've survived.
Grace under pressure, Rory. That's the important thing. You used it on the rugby field and you've used it here as well.
That is very kind of you. Very kind of you.
Now, the legends of the Red Arrows, the legend of your good self and so on, and the RAF Air Force Base here at Scampton. Exciting times.
Very exciting times, especially with the imminent launch that we're talking about and why we're here today for the air show next month. You know, Waddington was synonymous with the Air Force in this part of the world, and obviously we've not had it for 5-6 years, but the runway was being dug up obviously, but there was a serious fear that it wasn't going to actually come back in any shape or form. So great, the Air Force still wanted to have them, got involved with the Charitable Trust to because they've got a great model down at Fairford that works very well. Now, we ain't trying to be a Fairford up here. You know, it's not a big enough airfield, and trying to have two of those in a year is just not practicable. But to have an air show of some ilk in the local area here at a very, very infamous and famous airfield, and it's great. Looking forward to it.
In other words, he's infamous. That's one of Ben's favourite words, which is fantastic. Ben?
Rory, obviously, you've been up in the jet today. What was your experience like, and what have you been up to in the jet?
If you can answer, of course.
Yeah, no, I can't. You know, it brings back memories. I mean, I've got 700-800 hours flying the Hawk, So it's my favourite aircraft. I had great times flying on 100 Squadron when I was in the Air Force. And so to get back into the smells, when you get into the aircraft cockpit, the smells of all the hydraulics and the oils and all that sort of stuff, the whole the noise when the engine was starting, getting up in the air with the helmet on and just, I mean, I pulled up when I was up there, so basically we just got up into the overhead. I did a few little simple aeros and flew around to look at the scenery because the weather was actually, pardon me, very windy. Great clouds, so the cloud base was at about 2,000 feet, lots of gaps so we could see down to the ground. So Lingy was giving me, he's been here about 10 years now, so he knows all the local area around Scampton. He was telling me about all the hostelries and all the famous sites around, did some aeros, and then came back in for a run break.
Rory, it's been a genuine privilege. I know that my colleague Jenny Finch, crime writer extraordinaire, will be envious of you, good self, because she loves rugby. I'm sure she likes Jets as well. Final question, how do you think the side are actually doing at present?
Well, the Lions have done fantastically well. It was such a sort of, do we celebrate or not, a draw? But they did a great, to get a result out in the summer was great. And of course, we had a lot of English players playing and that's some who are not regulars in the England team. So I think it's going to be fantastic. We have had a success. We've won a Grand Slam. We won the championship last year. I think we're going through a very, very strong period and look forward to the next 2 years leading up to the next World Cup in Japan.
And I look forward to your good self for inspiration, Rory. Many thanks indeed.
Very kind of you. Thank you very much.
And so our challenge, which we set ourselves a few moments ago for this first ever press call for the first ever Scampton Air Show with a car alarm going off in the background there. Somewhat ironic there. I don't think it's a Rover 25, so all's well with that. We've reached the end of the thing, Rory, and I think we've pretty much managed to tick most of the boxes that we set ourselves to do at the first place.
Yes, indeed we have. We've been graced by the presence of Rory Underwood MBE, as well as Mike Ling MBE, the Red 10, and a few other folk as well, including Dave Montenegro and some other our charitable trustees, you know, folks that we've had the pleasure to speak to.
And the key thing, of course, is if you're looking to attend this year's Scampton Air Show, the first ever Scampton Air Show, just a year before the centenary of the RAF, get your tickets online, get them sorted out before. They won't be available on the door itself. So if you're listening to this either as a podcast or indeed on Siren Online, Lincoln's first community radio station, make sure you book those tickets as soon as possible.
Indeed. I'd fully encourage everyone to go up there. And I think, obviously, I'm not allowed to make it myself, but I encourage a lot of people to come and visit. I think it'd be a fantastic show.